chapter for the technique of stellar healing. Stellar healing was practiced not only in ancient Egypt, but it was practiced by Jesus and the disciples, and by those who follow their methods even to this day, as healing by laying on of hands. It is true that Jesus, and those who as healers followed in his footsteps, emphasized faith. That is, as stellar healers always should do, they combined mental healing with the use of planetary energies, which were permitted to flow through their bodies to the astral form of the patient. This physiological factor, which is important in healing by any method, was repeatedly emphasized by Jesus, as when he said to the sick woman, who touched the hem of his garment, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." But, as Mark relates this episode, 5:27-32, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. If the woman had been cured solely by her own mental attitude, it would not have been reported that virtue went out of Jesus to her in the healing process. This virtue was an actual healing energy, which passed through the body of the healer to the body of the one healed. There are those at this day who are natural healers, and others who develop the ability, through whom these energies from the planets flow in large volume. And it is unnecessary for such a healer to touch his patient, in order to communicate this planetary energy to him. It is even quite possible to send it to a patient at a distance by establishing the proper rapport between patient and healer. But commonly it is easier to communicate the healing planetary energies to the patient through the hands, by holding the hands close to, or actually in contact with, the part to be healed. And we find from the biblical account that Jesus, with all his natural healing ability, found it expedient at times actually, to place the fingers in contact with the part to be healed. Matthew 9:28-30. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." And their eyes were opened. This method of healing was not confined to Jesus, nor to his day. It was the common method practiced by initiates of various countries at that time, and Jesus instructed his 12 disciples in the art, and in turn the method was entrusted to those who followed in their footsteps. Because the healing energies are more easily imparted to the patient through the healer's fingers, Christians who use it commonly refer to it as healing by laying on of hands. Luke 9:1-2. Then he called his 12 disciples together, and gave them power and authority over all devils, and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and to heal the sick. Healing by laying on of hands distinguishes true Christians, if we are to believe the Bible, the two things which Jesus commanded his followers to do, and emphasized in a manner to indicate they were of equal importance, were to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. And historians record that healing was a common practice among all believers in Christianity for several hundred years after the crucifixion. Irenaeus, in 110 AD, for instance, chronicles man healed the sick by laying their hands on them. At this time, or at any other, I present no brief favor in Christianity. But I am pointing out to those who follow this religion, that its founder placed equal emphasis on preaching and healing by laying on of hands. It is to be presumed that a leader, who knew he was departing from the earth, would embody in his last command to those who were to carry on his work, that which he considered most important. And the last command Jesus gave indicated how those who were true Christians might be known from those who were merely pretenders to Christianity. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Therefore did the disciples and those who followed after them actually heal the sick. Religion and healing went hand in hand in those times, and should go hand in hand at this day. Some of the Orthodox faiths are beginning to recognize this, and to incorporate healing into their services. After all, it is the function of religion not merely to teach people how best to live, but also to help them live in the manner which contributes most to universal welfare. And because an individual cannot contribute his utmost to society when ill, religion is called upon to do all it can to help him regain his health. Yet it was not necessary for the disciples, who cured by laying on of hands, to know that some of the energy that passed through their bodies and out their hands was electromagnetic, and that some of it was derived from the astral radiations of the planets. For them to benefit by sunshine, it was not necessary for them to know the nature of light, for at present our scientists do not know whether it is a wave, or corpuscular, or both, or that it reached them across a space of 93 million miles, traveling at the rate of about 180,300 miles a second. They had learned by experience how to get warm in the sunshine, how to permit its rays to come into their houses through open doors and windows. And they had been taught the technique of tuning in on the energy radiated by the planets, and permitting it to pass through their bodies as a healing current. Even a Canadian of Egypt, who taught and practiced this healing technique more than 1,300 years before the 12 disciples were born, probably had no notion of tuning in on the energy he desired to use. How such energies are picked up by the nervous system acting as a radio receiving set is knowledge made possible only since the discovery of radio. But both Akhenaten and the 12 disciples, through actual practice, had learned how healing energies from some source outside of themselves were induced to flow through their bodies and into the bodies of others to produce healing. Because Akhenaten was an Egyptian initiate, he understood astrology, a subject about which the disciples, who were illiterate, probably knew nothing. While, therefore, Akhenaten probably knew nothing of radio terminology, he was able to perceive that the energy thus used came primarily from the sun, and was transmitted to the earth by the planets as definite qualities of energy. Instead, therefore, of proceeding along more general lines, such as no doubt the disciples of Jesus followed, Akhenaten was able to discern the inner factors of the disease from the horoscope of the patient. And with this knowledge he was in a position to administer the healing energy, which more specifically was adapted to the cure of the disease. The technique which he developed, as indicated by the pictures he has left us, included the use of color, music and thought to enable the stellar healer to tune in on the particular planetary energy he desired to use. Having tuned in on the vibratory rate desired, the healer directed this energy through his fingertips to the part or organ to be healed. In reality, healing through laying on of hands, whether so recognized by the healer or not, utilizes, in varying proportions, three different and distinct types of energy. 1. The electromagnetic energy of the healer, which passes from his hands to the patient. 2. The astral vibrations of a planet or planets, which the healer is tuned in on, and which pass from his hands with the electromagnetic energy to the thought cells of the patient. 3. The thoughts and mental images in the healer's mind, which direct the electromagnetic energy and the planetary energy to the accomplishment of the specific healing job to be done. To accomplish much, electromagnetic energy must be guided by astral energy, while it is electromagnetic energy which more directly brings about changes in man's physical body. The changes brought to pass are determined by the astral energies, which guide them in their task. Other than being the energy of physical life, electromagnetic energy of itself accomplishes little. It is plastic and takes direction, and does such work as the astral energies associated with it direct. If imparted through the hands to a patient with the thought of benefiting him, it gives him vitality and strength. But it also can be directed to destroy, or to bring about changes in the tissues. Insofar as it can communicate its motions to physical substance, it tends to reproduce in matter, whatever form or condition is present in the astral substance, with which it is associated. All the physical phenomena described in lessons number 44 and number 45 course I were produced through an abundance of electromagnetism guided in its work by thought astral energies. And a highly endowed stellar healer can guide electromagnetic energies to bring about beneficial changes in the human body, which are no less amazing. But however great a change may be imparted to the physical body by means of electromagnetic energy, unless the thought cell structure also is permanently changed, this thought cell structure, through such electromagnetic energy, as later it is able to command, tends to cause the physical structure to resume its previous condition. Materializations, as produced by mediums, are not permanent because the thought structure molding them is only temporarily strong enough to overcome the desire of the thought cells of the medium to use the substance and energy to sustain the medium's physical body. A spirit photograph, on the other hand, once made through a temporary thought form, has no later thought energy associated with it, as a living organism has, to change it back into a reproduction of a more permanent thought structure. Because the physical structure can only be changed through the action of electromagnetic energy, it is essential that there be present sufficient electromagnetic energy to bring about the desired change. Furthermore, as it is the life of the body, this energy needs to be present in ample amounts. No matter how perfect the physique otherwise, if the electromagnetic energy becomes too depleted, life departs. That is, so far as the physical body is concerned, it is the vital fluid. And because it is the vital fluid, when it is present abundantly in a certain organ, the tendency is for this organ to be vigorous and able to throw off disease. Stellar healing, mesmerism, and laying on of hands imparts electromagnetism, and this additional vital force applied to the diseased organ increases its vigor and power and enables it to eliminate disease. As this electromagnetism normally passes from the hands of a healer, the energies flowing from the right hand of a right-handed person are electric, and tend to concentrate the nerve currents of the patient's body in the region of the healer's hand. And the energies flowing from the left hand are magnetic, and tend to diffuse the nerve currents of the patient's body in the region of the healer's hand. Commonly, if the healer is left-handed, the reverse is true. The nerve currents of the body are electromagnetic and influence the flow of blood. Blood tends to flow more abundantly to any region where there is nerve stimulation and thus concentration of nervous energy. Consequently, adding the electric energy of the right hand to a part tends to give it not merely a healing energy, but also an additional blood supply. And this may be what the tissue needs. On the other hand, if the condition to be cured is due to congestion, it needs to be relaxed. Already the nerve currents flow too freely to the part, and the unusual blood supply tends to increase the inflammation, perhaps robbing other parts of the body. When such a condition exists, instead of the positive electric energy, what is needed is the soothing, relaxing, pacifying magnetic energy from the left hand. That is, what the tissues or organs need is not more vitality but more of the healing feminine energy of the magnetic constitution. In using electromagnetic energies, When the healer wishes to cause a boil to come to a head, or the poisons of the body to be collected in a certain spot, he places his right hand directly over the inflamed part and his left hand, as nearly directly opposite as possible. Whenever there is any inflammation which tends to produce pus, the right hand directly over it causes a drawing sensation. Also, when there is an old sore which needs a new blood supply, the right hand is placed over the sore, and the left hand opposite. But when the healer wishes to diffuse the poison and scatter it, he places his left hand over the inflamed part, and the right hand on the opposite side of the body or limb. The magnetism from the left hand is of opposite polarity, tending to soothe rather than stimulate, relaxing the part, and scattering the poison along with the blood, from this spot. If the liver is afflicted, for instance, the healer's right hand over the liver and left hand on the back, opposite, may cause pain to be felt. But if the hands are reversed, with the left hand over the liver and the right hand on the back opposite, the pain ceases. Often a diseased part which is made worse through the electromagnetism from one hand is healed by the electromagnetism from the other hand. That is, according to the special need of the part to be healed, both positive electricity and negative magnetism have healing virtue. Stellar healing, however, is much more than giving treatments with human electromagnetism, and it is much more than giving mental treatments. Thoughts or mental images are selected, after stellar diagnosis has been made, such as are specifically needed to change the thought cell structure and the desires of the thought cells in the manner required for health. These thoughts or images are delivered to the consciousness of the physical cells and organs and to the thought cells, to be changed through the electromagnetism applied by the healer. But in addition, and this distinguishes stellar healing from all other methods, and gives it a power and value they do not possess, the thoughts and images are powerfully reinforced to accomplish their task by a properly selected planetary energy, which the healer tunes in, on and delivers to the consciousness of the physical cells, and to the thought cells needing treatment through the electromagnetism, which he applies to the region to be healed. The planetary energy thus delivered not only assists the healer in giving the thought cells the desires he seeks they should have, but it supplies them with the energy needed to exercise the necessary extra physical power to bring about whatever change in the physical body or the physical environment is needed to complete the healing. Tuning in on proper planetary energy, the electromagnetic currents passing over the nervous system are the natural conductors of planetary energies. They pick up and readily transmit planetary or other astral energies, which have a similar vibratory frequency. It is feeling, mood and emotion that tune the electromagnetic energies of the nervous system. Thus, to be a successful stellar healer, the individual must be proficient in the use of induced emotion. He must be able to engender in himself the emotion, or state of feeling, which for the time being causes him to pick up and radiate not his normal personal magnetism, but a personal magnetism charged and colored by the astral energy of any particular planet of his choice. In this application of induced emotion, during the time he is giving the stellar treatment, he ceases to be his normal self, and through his mood he feels only the constructive energies of a single planet. Placing himself in this state of feeling, in which other states of feeling are not present, his nervous system, through the electromagnetic energies flowing over it, picks up these astral planetary energies. And because he has practiced at such times to permit the electromagnetic energies to flow abundantly from his hands, the particular planetary energies thus intercepted flow also readily with the conducting electromagnetism from his fingers to the patient. Not everyone can become a stellar healer. Some have too little electromagnetic energy for their own needs, or recharge so slowly that giving treatments would lead to their own depletion. but even of those through whom electromagnetic energy flows abundantly, and who have vitality enough that they quickly recover from the loss occasioned in treating. Some are so stolid in their nervous makeup that, even though good magnetic healers, they never can become stellar healers. A stellar healer must be able, not merely to control his thoughts during the time of treatment, but must be able to induce in himself, for the time being, the emotion he desires. As an actor, to be successful, must be able to feel the part of the character he plays, so the stellar healer must be able to induce in himself the feeling of the planetary energy he wishes to use. And he must induce this feeling in himself as a pleasant and harmonious experience. The energy of any planet can be given either a constructive or a destructive trend. When the feelings are pleasant and agreeable at the time it flows through the nervous system, its energies are harmonious and constructive. But if the mood changes to worry, despondency, anger, or other unpleasant feeling, while the treatment is being given, destructive energies are added to the patient's astral form. Hence, the healer must be able to determine his emotions during the time of treatment. To tune in on the vibratory rates of a particular planet, the emotion or state of feeling characteristic of that planet in its constructive aspect should be induced and established as completely as possible. It should permeate the whole body so thoroughly that no other type of thought, feeling or emotion is experienced. Color and music as healing helps. One of the best aids in this endeavor is, through the imagination, completely to saturate the body and send through the hands to the patient the color ruled by the planet. In fact, the planetary energy used in treatment, when viewed from the astral plane, has this color in vivid intensity. Consequently, such visualization is a correct conception of what actually takes place. When difficulty is experienced in changing to the emotion of the planetary energy desired, sounding the chord a few times of the musical key ruled by the planet often will aid in tuning the mind and nervous system in on the planet's energies. In these days of the radio and phonograph, it is not too difficult to have martial music when treating with Mars energy, slow, measured, solemn music when the cold blue ray of Saturn is used, music of pomp and ceremony when the vital orange of the sun is employed, hymns for Jupiter, love themes for Venus, soothing, sleepy time melodies for the moon, and volatile, changeable dance rhythms for Mercury. It is a most difficult thing to explain to another how to induce and hold a particular emotion. It would be difficult to explain to an actor how to feel joy, how to feel sorrow, how to feel righteous indignation, or how to feel consuming wrath. The attitude itself, through the muscular associations, helps to induce the mood. But not all who assume an attitude can feel what it implies, otherwise there would be more good actors. The problem, therefore, of the best technique to induce the desired feeling in full measure must largely be left to the individual to solve for himself. This much, however, can be said with definiteness: whenever the individual feels strongly aggressive and energetic, at that time he is actually tuned in on Mars planetary energies. Whenever he feels coldly methodical and calculating, at that time his nervous system is actually picking up Saturn planetary energies in some volume. But during the time he does not feel the energy of Mars, or the energy of Saturn, or the energy of any particular planet, he is not tuned in on, nor transmitting in volume, the astral energies of the planet which influences this emotion. While, therefore, it must be left to the individual, through practice and experiment, to discover the technique which is best suited to his own particular temperament and previous conditioning, in inducing the desired emotion, he need not remain in doubt. Once a feeling is fully established, that he is tuned in on the planet characteristic of this feeling, and capable of transmitting its energies in volume. The color must flow to be effective according to personal experience in the past, which have set up associations in his mind. He may find that thinking about some event is a ready way to tune the mind in on a particular emotion or state of feeling. But aside from these personal helps in tuning in on the required vibratory rate, the use of color is universally applicable. That is, when treating with the energy of a planet, visualize the color as flowing from the hands, along with the electromagnetism, to the place being treated. And in using this method, the color must not be permitted to remain stationary, but must actively flow to the patient and to the part to be healed. Animal magnetism is electromagnetic energy. It flows over the nerves as nerve currents and determines the blood supply of the various parts. The more concentrated the electromagnetic energy at a certain point in the body, the greater the supply of blood received at that place. Conversely, if a blood supply is induced in a certain part, electromagnetic energy flows there more abundantly. This is important, for the stellar healer depends upon the electromagnetic energies flowing from his fingers to conduct the planetary energies he is tuned in on. But electromagnetic energies will not flow from cold fingers, this coldness indicating they have a poor blood supply. Therefore, before treating, the hands should be rubbed together, or the arms flung about vigorously, until the hands are not only warm, but pulsating with the blood thus forced into them. And a still further consideration is that electromagnetic energy does not flow well from dry fingers. If the fingers are dry, even if warm and full of blood, it indicates that the electromagnetic energy is not flowing from them in the proper abundance for treatment. When they are warm and slightly moist with perspiration, they are in the best condition for giving stellar healing treatments. When dry, therefore, there should be a basin of warm water handy, in which, from time to time, the fingers should be dipped, just often enough to keep them suitably moist. Although the electromagnetic energy from the right hand is of the vital quality ruled by the sun, and the electromagnetic energy from the left hand is of the nutritive quality ruled by the moon, when they thus flow from the hands in giving stellar treatments, both these energies become permeated with, and in some measure take on the characteristics of, the planetary energy being used. When, therefore, the energy of some particular planet is being imparted in proper volume to the patient along with electromagnetic energy, the hands and fingers commonly vibrate to these energies. This vibration felt in the hands is distinctive for each planet. And the stellar healer comes to recognize, through this vibratory sensation in the hands, which planetary energy is flowing through them, and whether or not it is passing to the patient in proper volume. Warning: tuning in on planetary energies is, of course, tuning in on the high-velocity astral world. Through a similar process, therefore, one can tune in on the minds of people and other entities occupying the astral plane. But this is not the object sought in stellar healing, and any attempt at control of the healer by an invisible entity should always be resisted. If control is not permitted when learning this technique, the healer soon forms the habit of tuning in exclusively on the selected planetary energy, without interference from any astral intelligence. But if he once permits control from some such entity, it requires more effort to prevent tuning in on the entity again. Those who have not sufficient control to be able to tune in on planetary energies without undue interference from astral intelligences should not attempt stellar healing, and, as explained in lesson number 64, they should cultivate directed thinking. Sun vibrations musical accompaniment, D. The electromagnetic energies flowing from the positive hand normally are under the dominion of the sun. They have a special vital healing power even when uncharged with astral planetary energies. But to give them still greater vital power, and the astral energy to impart life to the astral form, they should be charged with solar vibrations. The feeling to be induced is that of dominant vital power. The healer should saturate himself with orange color, and cause it to flow through his hands to the patient as a strong, warm, life-giving current of invigorating quality. While thus tuned in on the solar radiations, this astral energy will flow adequately through both hands, not being confined to the positive. Moon vibrations musical accompaniment, F. The electromagnetic energies flowing from the negative hand normally are under the domination of the moon. They have a nutritive, magnetic healing influence even when uncharged with astral planetary energies. But to give them still greater power to soothe and nourish, they should be charged with lunar vibrations. The feeling to be induced is that felt by a mother for the babe in her arms. It is an enfolding, caressing, gentle and sustaining vibration, rounded and strictly feminine. While thus tuned in on the lunar radiations, this astral energy will flow as a clear green color through both hands, not being confined to the negative. Mercury vibrations musical accompaniment, BBDFB. These astral vibrations are active and restless, moving chiefly in straight lines. They have no warmth, but great power of penetration. They are the vibratory rates commonly picked up when the healer's mind is actively engaged with some problem requiring concentrated thought. Consequently, to tune in on those rates, instead of feeling emotion, the thoughts should be concentrated on the healing task at hand, and these astral energies directed, with the electromagnetic energies flowing from the fingers, as a violet stream, into the patient. Venus vibrations musical accompaniment, E-EGBE. This is the love vibration, into which none of the passion of Mars should be injected. It is best felt as a deep and abiding affection, quite apart from the ordinary connotation of sex. As felt flowing from the fingers, the energy is mildly warm and enfolding, distinct alike from the genial warmth of Jupiter and the intense power of the Sun. Care must always be used when treating a person of opposite sex with this vibratory rate, that it does not stimulate a personal affection which would prove embarrassing. But as a kindly yellow light, mellow and gently warm, passing to the region under treatment, it can be kept sufficiently impersonal to avoid such complications, and at the same time do its work, as the natural antidote for Saturn. And because so many disease conditions are of the Saturn type, the use of the planetary energies of Venus are frequently required. Mars vibrations musical accompaniment, C-CEGC. These astral vibratory rates, when seen clairvoyantly, are red. To tune in on them, the whole organism should be given the feeling of abundant and positive aggressive energy. As applied to treatment, the best color is scarlet. It is a vibration which is highly stimulating, and care should be used that no disagreeable or antagonistic feelings are present during its application. As they pass from the fingers, these energies give the sensation of pulsating, glowing heat. Jupiter vibrations musical accompaniment, A-C-E-A. These astral vibratory rates can be tuned in on through prayer, and through the feeling of devotion to assisting the realization of God's great plan. When passing through the fingers, these vibrations give the feeling of generous warmth and gratitude. The blue is warmed by red, and the energies are correctly visualized as a rich purple. Saturn vibrations musical accompaniment, GGBDG. The state of feeling to be induced in tuning in on the planetary energies of Saturn is that of cold, unbending justice, in which warmth is displaced by an intense steel blue vibration. The heavy vibratory rates of Saturn, those that feel like lead, should carefully be avoided. Instead, the energy streaming from the fingertips should be accompanied by a cold sensation which, although unyielding and strict, is not unpleasant. If any unpleasantness is felt, the treatment should be discontinued, as such indicates that destructive energies are being delivered to the patient. Uranus, Neptune and Pluto vibrations. The vibrations of Uranus have a penetrating and disruptive quality. Those of Neptune, when not elusive, are ecstatic and may lead to cosmic consciousness, and those of Pluto on its constructive side cooperate in the work revealed in cosmic consciousness, and may lead to divine consciousness. Calculating the power and harmony of the normal progressed horoscope, the normal relative amount of activity of the various departments of life during a given period may be gauged by the normal power of the houses of a major progressed horoscope during that period. Irrespective of the normal power of a house, or its normal harmony or discord, its affairs will move along this normal course with no marked variation until a progressed aspect forms, which adds accessory energy to the thought cells mapped by the house. The energy of a progressed aspect not merely increases the energy available to the thought cells, but it stimulates them to use whatever energy is available. A man may do very little more work when he is in top health and at the apex of his physical strength than during another period when he is in poor health and rather weak. The strength is there when he is in top health, but he may fail to exert himself. But if he does exert himself while in top health, he can accomplish much more than if he exerts himself while in poor health and weak. A progressed aspect not only gives the thought cells more energy, but it causes them to exert themselves. They strive to accomplish something characteristic of their desires. As other things being equal, such as conditioning and the facilities of environment, the thought cells having the most power, and receiving the mostly power from the progressed aspect are those most likely to bring about the event stimulated by the progressed aspect. It is highly valuable to know exactly the amount of normal power of each house of the major progressed horoscope during a given period, the normal harmony or discord of each house of the major progressed horoscope during the given period, and both the amount of power and the amount of harmony or discord added to each house influenced by a given progressed aspect. A progressed aspect adds energy not merely to one house of the normal major progressed horoscope, but to several of them. While other things may affect the department of life, which will be influenced by the event brought to pass by the progressed aspect, a better appraisal of the department of life that will be affected can be had if the number of astrodions possessed by each house of the normal major progressed horoscope is known, and if the number of astrodions added to each of the houses influenced also is known, and if the number of harmodions and discordions possessed by each house of the normal major progressed horoscope is known, and the number of harmodions or discordions added to each of the houses influenced by the progressed aspect is known, a much better appraisal can be made of the probable fortune or misfortune of the event which the aspect influences. Knowledge of the number of astrodions and harmodions or discordions possessed by each house aside from progressed aspects, and the number of astrodions and harmodions or discordions added to each house by progressed aspects during a given period, enables the individual to gauge much more precisely the precautionary actions which should be taken to make the most of opportunities offered during the period, and to avoid difficulties that otherwise might be encountered during the period. And affording as precise a guide as possible to the proper precautionary actions that should be taken is the chief value of astrological knowledge. A planet merely moving through a sign or house of the birth chart by transit, by minor progression, or by major progression, brings about a structural change in the astral body, which enables it to receive energy of the nature indicated by the progressed planet in that region. The energy release shown by a progressed planet forms a temporary stellar dynamic structure within the astral body. This acts as a radio receiving terminal for picking up and transmitting to that compartment of the astral body the energies of the vibratory rate of the planet. observation of the increase in activity of the Department of Life mapped by the house into which a major progress planet moves, and the corresponding decrease in the activities of the Department of Life mapped by the house, from which the same major progress planet has moved, leads to the conclusion that, wherever it moves by major progression, a planet carries with it about one-half its birth chart power. The progressed moon, while calculated by the major time-velocity ratio, is considered a sub-major influence having 1/7 the power of a major progress planet, and thus carrying with it by a major progression 1/14 of its birth chart power. The time-velocity ratio of minor progressions and transits also clearly indicates their relative power, as verified by much careful observation. That is dash other than their distinctive power, of stepping up through aspect major progressed aspects involving the same planet, to be explained later. A minor progressed planet has 1/27.3 the power of a major progressed planet, and a minor progressed aspect has 1/27.3 the power of the same major progressed aspect. A transiting planet has 1/365.25 the power of a major progress planet, and a transit aspect has 1/365.25 the power of the same major progressed aspect. This does not signify that either minor progress positions or transit positions should be ignored, for they may afford just the required accessory energy, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back, to enable the thought cells to bring into the life an event of importance indicated by a major progressed aspect. To ascertain the total unaspected progress power of a sign or house at a given time, not only must the power of any major progress planet in it be included, but also the power of any minor progress planet in it and the power of any transiting planet in it. A minor progress planet carries with it 1/54.6 of its birth chart power, and a transiting planet carries with it 1/730.50 of its birth chart power. Except when it is desired to get the total power of a sign or house for some limited period, the major progressed horoscope may be considered roughly as the normal. With the exception of the moon, the major progressed planets usually not only remain many years in each house and sign, but they carry with them much power. Even the major progressed moon has enough power that its approximately 2.5 years in each sign and house produce noticeable effects. But on the whole, the major progressed planets remain so long in each sign and house that, except when they move from one house into another, the conditions attracted by the thought cell activity they support comes to be considered normal for the Department of Life. New developments of consequence occur only when there is a major progressed aspect, which adds still more energy in unusual volume to the thought cells of the house. A planet merely moving through a sign or house of the birth chart by major progression, by minor progression, or by transit not only adds energy to the sign or house through which it thus moves, but the energy thus added is harmonious. If the planet is harmonious at birth, and the energy thus added is discordant, if the planet was discordant at birth. Wherever a planet moves by major progression, it carries with it about one-half its birth chart harmony or discord. The progressed moon carries with it by major progression 1/14 of its birth chart harmony or discord. A minor progressing planet carries with it 1/54.6 of its birth chart harmony or discord. A transiting planet carries with it 1/730.50 of its birth chart harmony or discord. In addition, when the planet thus progressing is in a sign which has essential dignity or essential debility, it gains harmony or discord. By major progression, it gains one-half the harmodynes or discordynes indicated in the table of essential dignity values, page 38, lesson number 199. The major progressed moon gains 1/14 of the harmodynes or discordynes indicated in the table. Minor progress planets gain 1/54.6 of the harmodynes or discordynes indicated in the table. And transiting planets gain 1/730.50 of the harmodynes or discordynes indicated in the table. Progressing planets gain by mutual reception Mr. only when the two planets in mutual reception form a progressed aspect. When this occurs, each planet involved in a major progressed aspect gains 2.50 harmodynes, each planet involved in a sub-major progressed aspect gains 0.36 harmodynes, each planet involved in a minor progressed aspect gains 0.09 harmodynes, and each planet involved in a transit aspect gains 0.01 harmodynes. Now let us calculate the power and the harmony and discord of John Edwards' normal major progressed horoscope for the year 1941. The limiting date is June 9, 1920, and the major progression date for 1941 is April 9, 1920. The positions of the planets at noon in the ephemeris on April 9, 1920, therefore, are their major progress positions for calendar date June 9, 1941. The Moon moves from Sagittarius into Capricorn by major progression on September 15, 1941, after the date adding its progress power and discord to Capricorn rather than Sagittarius, but the house it occupies does not change during the year. John Edwards' birth chart is given on page 4 of lesson number 197. The birth chart power of each planet, as previously calculated, is given on page 39 of lesson number 199. The birth chart harmony or discord of each planet, as previously calculated, is given on page 40 of lesson number 199. The birth chart power of each birth chart sign and house, as previously calculated, is given on page 22 of lesson number 198. The birth chart harmony or discord of each sign and house, as previously calculated, is given on page 56 of this lesson. The ephemeris on April 9, 1920, shows the Moon in Sagittarius. Its birth chart power is 24.83 astrodynes. Dividing 24.83 by 14 gives 1.77 astrodynes. Its birth chart discord is 6.76 discordynes. Dividing 6.76 by 14 gives 0.48 discordynes. 44.63 astrodynes birth chart Sagittarius. Plus 1.85 gives the normal major progress power of Sagittarius, as 46.48 astrodynes. 9.31 harmodynes birth chart Sagittarius, minus 0.48 discordynes gives the normal major progress harmony of Sagittarius, as 8.83 harmodynes. In addition to progressed moon, progressed dusk is in the first house. Its birth chart power is 24.03 astrodynes, and its birth chart discord is 2.72 discordynes. Dividing 24.03 by 2 gives 12.02 astrodynes. Dividing 2.72 by 2 gives 1.36 discordynes. 44.63 astrodynes birth chart first house plus 1.85 plus 12.02 gives the normal major progress power of the first house, as 58.50 astrodynes. 0.48 plus 1.36 gives 1.84 discordynes. 9.31 harmodynes birth chart first house minus 1.84 gives the normal major progressed harmony of the first house, as 7.47 harmodynes. Progressed dusk is in Capricorn. We have already found its progress power, as 12.02 astrodynes, and its progress discord, as 1.36 discordynes. 20.59 astrodynes birth chart Capricorn, plus 12.02 gives the normal major progress power of Capricorn, as 32.61 astrodynes. 7.88 discordynes birth chart Capricorn, plus 1.36 gives the normal major progress discord of Capricorn, as 9.24 discordynes. Aquarius has no progress planet in it, and therefore retains its birth chart power of 9.84 astrodynes and its birth chart discord of 1.86 discordynes. And as no progress planet is in the second house, it retains its birth chart power of 64.63 astrodynes, and its birth chart discord of 1.53 discordynes. Progressed Uranus, Venus and Mercury are in Pisces. Birth chart Uranus has 37.54 astrodynes and 0.86 harmodynes. Dividing each by 2 gives 18.77 astrodynes and 0.43 harmodynes. Birth chart Venus has 34.20 astrodynes and 8.21 harmodynes. Dividing each by 2 gives 17.10 astrodynes and 4.11 harmodynes. It also gains 0.50 harmodynes for being in its exaltation. Birth chart Mercury has 38.48 astrodynes and 6.91 discordynes. Dividing each by 2 gives 19.24 astrodynes and 3.46 discordynes. It also gains 1 discordyne for being in its detriment. 138.43 birth chart Pisces plus 18.77 plus 17.10 plus 19.24 gives the normal major progress power of Pisces, as 193.54 astrodynes. 15.30 birth chart Pisces plus 0.43 plus 4.11 plus 1.50 gives 21.34 harmodynes. 3.46 plus 1 gives 4.46 discordynes. 21.34 minus 4.46 gives the normal major progressed harmony of Pisces, as 16.88 harmodynes. Progress Sun is in Aries. Birth chart Sun has 21.60 astrodynes and 5.07 harmodynes. Dividing each by 2 gives 10.80 astrodynes and 2.54 harmodynes. In addition, the Sun gains 2.00 harmodynes for being in its degree of exaltation. It thus has a total of 4.54 harmodynes. 65.19 birth chart Aries, plus 10.80 gives the normal major progress power of Aries, as 77.99 astrodynes. 7.79 discordynes birth chart Aries, minus 4.54 harmodynes gives the normal major progress discord of Aries, as 3.25 discordynes. Details of other signs and houses will be found on pages 57 and 58.